Here comes the Spider-Man.
Yes, there's only one man for this report. Following on with our reports on the biodiversity audit of Orosanukteron, this week it's the turn of the mammals and spiders. Our mammals are very familiar. They're generally large and easy to spot, and most of us have seen foxes, hedgehogs and badgers at some stage. And because these animals are to be found within the Phoenix Park, it is hoped that they will be found within the Oros as well. But what of the spiders? Well, being small and living in dark, out-of-the-way places, it's not really certain as to what species may be found here. And with over 1,000 arachnid species found in Ireland, there is the possibility that something rare may be discovered. And with that in mind, our man Terry Flanagan headed off late at night with Dr. Evan Cochrane and Collie Ennis from Trinity College to see what's out there.
We're just walking up to quite a small tunnel. Mm-hmm. Have to certainly duck here. It's probably only 3 foot tall.
It's like something out of Indiana Jones, isn't it?
It certainly is.
It's really exciting.
And we're looking
cobwebs to boot.
But that's what we've come for. We've come looking for spiders.
Yeah.
So, but not just any old spiders, all right?
No. Well, we're hoping to find pretty rare spider to see around, especially around Dublin. It's called a cave spider.
And we're in a cave, so I suppose there's a good chance.
Yeah, so this is an old ice cellar. It's basically a man-made cave. And this is the type of habitat these spiders really love. They like these concave roofs with dampness.
And there's certainly no human activity anywhere around here.
No.
Would you reckon there's much activity, say mammal activity here?
Oh, there's absolutely mammal activity here. Right behind where you're standing is a badger latrine, actually.
Right.
And if you look at the very top of the tunnel up here and you see that...
Which is about 10 or 15 metres away.
I'd say so, yeah. And that goes under the footpath that we just came over. That leads us right to a badger set.
Right. So you think the badgers then are definitely using this tunnel?
They are. I know for sure they're using this tunnel because I've seen the evidence myself.
Yeah.
When I was in here the other day.
And you think you've spotted this fairly rare spider?
Yeah, so myself and my colleague Kevin were in here the other day surveying for bats because we thought it would make a nice place for a hibernacula, a winter roost. And we came in looking for bats. Now, we didn't find any bats, but we saw just loads of spiders. And there was one that was fairly distinctive in shape and also had these little egg sacs, and Kevin commented on them saying, wondering what they were, and I said, I know just the man for the job.
And that's why we're here tonight.
Yeah.
What do you think then, Collie?
Well, along here I've already seen a rather emaciated looking lace web spider, a male.
Is that a common spider?
Common enough, yeah. And one of our native ones as well. But if you look up here, Terry.
Follow the torch.
You see the torch? See, yeah. There's a kind of a cotton ball.
I see it.
Hanging from the ceiling.
That's about 3 or 4 metres away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's your egg sac of the cave spider.
And you're sure it's the cave spider?
100%.
Why can you tell me it's the cave spider?
Because they have a distinctive way of laying their eggs where they'll make the egg sac but suspended from the ceiling.
I see.
And it's quite unique. Given the location, given that, you can put
pretty much 100%.
Now, we are going to collect samples. I have my little spider collection jar here so we can identify it under our microscope using eye patterns, and you also use the reproductive organs to identify spiders, but you can put the house on that they're actually here.
Right.
I'm going to try and grab one.
Well, come on, I'll follow you up as best I can because...
No, watch your head now.
Yeah.
Please watch your feet as well for the old badger.
I can see it here.
Yeah.
God almighty, it's of course being tall.
Now you can see there's a lot of...
Let me just get in there.
Around here. There you go. There's a classic. There's a male.
Oh, yeah, I can see him there.
See him there.
Yeah, black. He's quite a distinct colour, isn't he?
Yeah, it's that brown and black. And you can tell he's a male. And if I just... You keep your torch on him there for me, if you don't mind assisting.
Yep.
I'll get my torch on as well. And I can tell he's a male because he has those pedipalps.
Now, explain pedipalps.
Pedipalps are the male spider's reproductive organs. He'll deposit his DNA, his sperm, on a web.
Oh, yeah,
and then he'll use these two things that look like boxing gloves on the front of his head to suck it up, much like a turkey baster.
Right.
And then he will approach a female in her web and signal to her with vibrations and movements.
Of course, pedipalp, pedi meaning foot, isn't it?
Yeah.
Very distinctive.
Very distinctive.
They're now in the container.
And they're really impressive looking spiders with those kind of
It's dark. Very unusual.
Yeah.
They've got stripy legs.
Stripy. You have to really get the thought on them. And
they have a pattern on the abdomen as well.
As well, yeah. Which is also very distinctive.
So isn't it amazing even? You've come here looking for bats.
Yes.
You've checked out this little cave, for want of a better word.
Yeah.
And guess what? We found loads of spiders.
Absolutely. And that's ones great. That are, you know, quite rare as well, really.
And that's the great thing about having such a diverse team from Trinity College, because you could flip a log and find some fungus that obviously I wouldn't recognise, but you
could be out with somebody else who would.
Well, we'd just call Paul and he'd be able to tell us.
Or if I find a piece of poo, I'll just call. It looks mammalian, and I'll call even. So it's great to have a great team, and we're all learning off each other.
Yeah.
So, Collie, this has been a really good night for you.
Yeah, I'm really pleased.
You weren't expecting this, no?
No, I was hoping that we'd get to see the spiders tonight, because Eve had contacted me during the week saying that she thought she found them. When she sent me the photograph, I was 99% sure it was that particular species. So, yeah, it's a
just
real
goes
thrill.
To show,
I feel like a little kid again at Christmas. It's really good.
Oh, my God.
Look at that male. He's stunning.
He's big.
He's a big guy. Okay. Wow. And the colours in these ones here are really pop compared to other times I've seen them. You see that real slow, deliberate movement. They can feed once a year and be quite happy.
Is that so?
Yep, because as you can imagine, in a cave, you're not going to come across prey.
Well, there's plenty of us here on the walls.
But these can eat at their leisure.
So you have this one here now in the container. You're going to take one with you.
I'm going to take a male and a female.
Right.
And I'll take one of all the species we find here, which will allow us to identify them under the microscope 100%.
So many. There's a lovely little pale one just here, quite small.
Yeah, and we'd be surprised to find what
that's gorgeous.
Find
so you're going
here.
To be here for the next hour or two, I take it.
I think we're going to be here for a while, yeah. But we'll walk you out before we get stuck in.
And Terry Flanagan joins us now. Look at you, Terry, getting into Oris Neutron whenever you want. You got ambitions?
Yes, Terry, but I can tell you this. It seems such a long time ago now. And I should say before we start that all the pieces that were recorded in the Oris were recorded before we went into lockdown. And to be honest, I'm hopeful that we can get back again later in the year, because there's so much else I'd like to study. The flowering plants, we never even looked at them, as well as the small mammals, the mice, the voles, the shrews. Mm-hmm. The amphibians and the frogs and newts, which we just missed out on because of the lockdown. And of course, I'm really hoping to get back in the autumn to identify many more of the fungi that we saw there last year.
Well, as I said at the beginning of the programme, Terry, I'm in my back garden in South County Dublin, in Dublin 14. You are where exactly?
Well, I'm in my back garden too, Derek, here in West County Dublin, Dublin 15 in Clonsilla. And since I saw you last, spring has well and truly sprung. And I know you were on to Niall earlier about the birds nesting and hatching, but have you noticed the explosion of flowering plants all around us at the moment?
I have indeed. Is that what you're talking about in your Eye on Nature this month?
It is indeed. And the flowering plants, did you notice that they're all nearly yellow in colour? That's the one thing I notice about this time of the year. The daffodils, the primroses, the cowslips, the dandelions, I could go on and on and on, the gorse, and the lesser celandines. Now, most people think of the daffodil as the flower of spring, but to me, it's got to be the lesser celandine. And everyone knows that Wordsworth wrote the poem Daffodils, but what they don't know is that he wrote not one, not two, but three poems on the lesser celandine. And in fact, he requested that celandines be engraved on his tomb, which in fact they were. And the name celandine, it comes from Greek meaning swallow. I suppose it's a reference to swallows reappearing at the same time as it flowers. Now, another name for this plant is the pilewort, due to the knobbly appearance of its tubers. Basically, it looks like an absolute lump of hemorrhoids.
Oh.
And there was a theory... I'm telling you this, Derek. There was a theory long ago, Derek, that plants, or a piece of a plant, if it resembled a part of the body, then it could be given to a person suffering with an ailment of that part of the body. This theory was known as the doctrine of signatures. And because the tubers resembled piles, it was known as pilewort. And, well, it was used to treat people suffering from piles.
How about it indeed?
Well, here's something else. The same plant was also known as scurvywort in Germany because of the high concentration of vitamin C that the young leaves contained, and it was used to treat scurvy. You know, an unusual thing is that most animals can manufacture vitamin C in their bodies, but humans and guinea pigs can't, and we have to take it into our body in the diet. I learned that as a kid years ago, keeping guinea pigs. Anybody keeping guinea pigs, they know that they have to feed them regularly on lettuce or some other vegetable rich in vitamin C. And of course, the other common yellow flower that's seen everywhere at the moment is the dandelion, which gets its name from the dent de lion, or the lion's teeth. And when you look at the leaves of the plant, it's not hard to figure that one out. But you and I know it by another name, isn't that right?
Well, I don't want to say it. Something in the bed.
Yes, the wet the bed, or the piss in the bed. It's okay, Derek.
Not you can Derek, say, you can say that on radio.
Of course you can say it, don't be mind. It's true. Dandelions, like all plants, contain many compounds, and one of these is a diuretic. Now, diuretics are chemicals that increase the production of urine in the body, and this plant has been used as a diuretic for thousands of years. They're often referred to as water pills or water tablets, and they help to treat a number of heart-related conditions like high blood pressure. Of course, these flowers will soon be going to seed, and every child in Ireland helps to disperse them when they play clocks. And did you know that some of these seeds can travel more than 5 kilometres? And of course, with the lockdown, not as many county councils are out cutting green areas, so there's a huge number of dandelions in flower this year, which is a real bonus for our bumblebees at the moment. So, yellow's the colour at the moment, but once we move into May, then that changes to white, and we'll have flowers like cow parsley, hawthorn, elderberry, to mention but a few. Anyway, Derek, I hope you're getting your daily wildlife fix. What are you up to?
I am indeed. I mean, I'm just waiting for my blue tits to appear again, to be perfectly honest with you. And
yeah,
as soon as they appear, it's going to be busy, busy, busy for the next month or 2 months or thereabouts. But at any rate, Terry, thank you very much indeed. If you want to learn more, you can visit our website, rte.ie/Mooney, where you can view Terry's eye on nature. That's pretty much all we have time for today. Until next time, goodbye.